Nigga, man up.
Recorded live for no good reason in particular, from the darkest depths of the nanny state, all lathered up with our white privilege, it's the new Indispensable Show with Sable and Dave.
Ooh, did you hear that little teaser in the beginning?
It sounded like an angry man shouting insensitive word at the beginning of the show there.
That's definitely racist of you, Dave. That's our special guest today. We're going to bring him on at the end of the show.
Yeah, we have a pre-recorded segment called Ask a Black Guy. We're going to let that stand on its own at the end. How long is it? About 20 minutes or so-ish?
Oh, I thought it was six or seven minutes.
Oh, was that long? Oh, okay. I thought you said it was 25 or something. So maybe it was only 12. I don't know. But you cut some out.
We'll go double check. I didn't cut out much. We'll double check.
But I don't care. It's a podcast. It could go as long.
We had to pre-record our special because in order to get the story that we got, we had to have a couple bottles of alcohol to really work the story out in the manner that it came out.
Yeah, I think we were drinking. That was pre Plantation XO, wasn't it? Or it might have been right around there.
No, I think we finished a bottle.
We discovered
of
Plantation XO
that night.
That's some of the best rum ever, by the way. Plantation XO.
Uh huh.
Good recommendation.
So, hey, Dave, good to have you back.
How are you doing, Sable? It's been a week or so. We're actually recording another show. Tell the audience who you are.
My name is Sable Cantus. I'm a musician and podcaster in Orange County, California.
Oh, and I'm Dave Smith, a microscopically successful screenwriter and author and podcaster. And I'm enjoying my emotional support beverage that you poured me earlier.
And you're a joke writer now.
Well, I've always kind of been a joke writer, even though my two screen credits, if you watch them, are far from funny. They're not. If you've seen Replicant with Jean-Claude Van Damme, I think there's nary a guffaw in the entire movie. And then also this one called Assassin's Code, which is very dark and not funny at all. Although there are some lighthearted moments in there. But so it's weird that I think myself as a funny guy sometimes. Not when the mic is on, obviously. People who listen will know
they
that.
They know. Well, you get your joke ready. I'll tell the audience what we're drinking tonight.
Yeah, tell them what we're drinking, Sable.
So this time, while I was out camping that trip I told you about an episode or two ago, I went into the Trader Joe's to pick up some more bourbon, and Trader Joe's has their own bourbon. They put it right next to the Buffalo Trace. Mm. I think last show we might have had the Buffalo Trace. So I bought one. It's $15 a bottle, and I still had some. Mm. Well, I think the bottles that I bought were drank by another friend, and he bought one, and this was the remnants of that. Anyway, so I mixed a bourbon Manhattan tonight using the Trader Joe's bourbon and the Cinzano.
Right.
The Cinzano is what I got when we went to our Hollywood trip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was the tip.
Off the recommendation from the guy at Musso and Frank.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's it's lovely. It's going down easy.
That's right.
Yeah, should I start with my my Jay Leno style joke?
Yeah, just jump in, man.
Okay. Should I do it in a Jay Leno voice?
You don't even have to qualify it. You can just go for it.
Let me find where I put it.
Oh,
I should probably
that
read
kind
it.
Of a joke. Huh?
Well, you know, because they're reading off cue cards, so it needs to, you know, have a sort of a thing. You should probably
a certain je ne sais quoi.
Je ne sais quoi. Yeah. Okay. I didn't copy it into my Google Keep notes here. It's still in my other thing here. So you should be vamping while I get ready to read this. Oh, okay. Maybe I'll do it as Jay Leno. Maybe that'll help it. Have you seen this? Have you seen this news story? That's my younger Jay Leno voice. So should probably.
I have
like more gravelly now.
I haven't seen it.
Scientists say the Tyrannosaurus Rex had an air conditioner built into its skull. Yeah. The T-Rex was designed with a clever way to reduce its brain temperature with strategically placed holes in its skull.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. Not a lot of people know, though, that the Brachiosaurus had much more leg room and could parallel park itself. Did you know that? Parallel park itself. No, he pantomimes the joke after he acts like he's parallel parking.
Brachiosaurus, I like
Brachiosaurus.
That.
Brachiosaurus. So there you go. There's my late night. Thank you. Good. My late night style joke.
It is late night. We tend to record these late at night. And I had a couple questions because we may be appearing in the show on a on the noagendastream.com. I'm trying to work us into their regular rotation. Whenever they have a spot, throw an episode in.
Oh, nice. Make sure they don't throw last week's in because I was absolutely horrifyingly unfunny and slow-witted. Because I had a horrible headache.
But I think that was our... I think that was the episode that they listened to, and they said, yeah, you guys would fit in here.
Oh, fine. Wow. Okay. Good. Well,
so, but they so did.
They have very low standards. Thank God for us.
So they did ask about a regular schedule, and I was trying to explain over Mastodon chat that we used to do a weekly show,
yeah.
And it was a lot of work.
Yeah.
And then we burned out. So now we're kind of a whenever.
We only burned out because nobody was really listening to the show, as far as we know.
5,000 people.
How many people were hearing that show?
Who knows?
I don't. Yeah, yeah.
A handful of people in the chat room, yeah. YouTube, whatever.
Hey, it was fun. We got a nice body of work. I recommend you go look for the old Indispensable Thursday show on YouTube because we did some. I think we did some quite funny things in there.
Yeah, there were some good bits.
We even have a best of album.
That's right. So I do appreciate the guys over there. If they throw this on the stream, I'm so happy to be there over at noagendastream.com. And if they don't. No big deal. We're doing a show anyway without a regular schedule.
Can I send them like a bag of swag or something? Like the Academy Awards, like when they're trying to...
Have you ever heard of the casting couch?
Oh.
You want to get on the stream, you need to swallow. Get going.
Ooh. Well, I'm a straight guy, so if I do a hand job, it's very valuable, right? Because I've never done one of those.
So that should
be like... I would like to use a glove, though. That's part of my contract.
For somebody with no experience, you're rating your skills awfully high.
Any gay fella is going to love a hand job from a straight dude. I'm telling you right now. Just like I would love a blowjob from a lesbian that's never done it before. Awesome. That's like a nice feather in your cap. No?
I don't know.
I don't know. I think so.
Okay. Well.
I put a Twitter poll up right now.
Our Twitter, speaking of Twitter, is at Sable and Dave.
Yeah, we forgot to mention that the last 8 podcasts.
That's
that
right.
We've done.
It's on the website at theindispensableshow.com. But I figure I'll just mention we decided we don't want to manage email and phone numbers and PO boxes and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So
pshaw.
If you want to get a hold of us, send us a message to at Sable and Dave, and Dave will get it and he will personally transcribe it.
Yeah, well, I'll have a Filipino transcribe it, and then I will look at it.
And then you do the caption file for it.
I'll do the captions for it, yeah.
And then I'll build an HTML website for the response.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, got
it.
That's
how we roll.
Nice. So.
God, I had trouble. We were supposed to record last night, you know, and like you were kind of running late, and I was sitting at my dining room table. I worked a lot yesterday, so I didn't really even get to sit down and put any notes together, but I was just thinking of how I don't. I'm like, why am I doing a podcast? I don't give a shit about any of the news stories I'm seeing. I don't care because they're 85% bullshit anyway. Mm-hmm. You always have to wait a couple of weeks before the actual facts trickle in because everyone's so right. Click happy. We
or
have this click
months or
months
years.
Or years. Yeah, we have a clickonomy now where they have to. It's all clickonomics. They've got to get clicks.
Yep, yep.
They don't give a shit. Like the new Brett Kavanaugh thing. Apparently, that was very clickbaity and. Do you know much about this new accusation?
Didn't that come up earlier when they were going crazy before he was confirmed?
It did, but it didn't rise to the level of even Democrats bringing it up because they got nothing there.
Is it
somehow
another person that doesn't remember being there that's accusing him of doing something?
Well, everybody else said that this thing happened, but the actual person apparently said, I don't remember that. But they're all like, she remembers. She's just suppressing it. whatever. She doesn't even want to talk about it. But the other thing, though, that was poorly timed for Brett Kavanaugh is like, you know, he used to be in a band. And they surfaced some of his lyrics from one of his songs. Let me pull that up, too. I was reading it. Listen to this. Okay, this is. I think they found it in a notebook or something, but it's in that book. He says, I'm driving in my car. I turn on the radio. I'm pulling you close. You just say no. You say you don't like it, but girl, I know you're a liar. Because when we kiss, it's fire.
Now, is that your lyrics or is that his lyrics?
That's Bruce Springsteen. Sorry.
Great.
But everybody who hates Brett Kavanaugh, I went, yep, fucking racist.
That's
I mean, fucking sexist, rapist.
What a misogynist.
What a misogynist. No, it's your man, Bruce Springsteen, who's the lovely,
don't mess with Springsteen fans, man. They'll kill you.
I actually love Springsteen, too, but I just was listening to that tonight. I'm like, if Brett Kavanaugh said that.
Springsteen fans are well off. they can afford to travel the world to go to his concerts, and they will fly out mafia to burn your house down. So don't mess with them.
So they're all supporting rapists. Good. Good for you.
I'm just kidding.
There is some interesting fallout, though, into the tech world, because a visionary and icon in the tech world has always been Richard Stallman. He ran the Free Software Foundation. He started GNU Linux. He's been, since the 70s, an advocate for free and open software. And he had apparently made some comments some years ago about the age of consent. And, you know, a woman who's past puberty, who's sexually mature, can have sex.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he had some other comments about it, which he went and apologized for.
But that's true, isn't it?
Well,
I mean, various countries have different rules. We have a little bit later, but
so we could get into what he said specifically didn't seem too crazy, but then he was misrepresented in what he said.
What? I don't believe this. Wait a minute. And you're saying that his words were misrepresented by
those were past words.
This never happened, Sable. I don't I don't believe you.
Right. So what he said now was somehow misrepresented. And so the cancel culture went crazy after him, and he's now out of everything that he was doing. He's no longer on his life's work. Mm-hmm. He's not at MIT doing the lab there. He's not on the Free Software Foundation anymore. He's out. He's out of everything.
So, and do we have his original comments that he made, or
yeah?
What?
But you could go we could spend the whole hour just talking on his comments. The point was. Yeah. He had made comments 20 years ago that you could get into a discussion of, but the thing he didn't say, that he didn't actually say, he wasn't supporting a rapist, specifically not supporting a rape, then that's what he has to, his whole life is over because of that. He's canceled now because of it.
Interesting.
That cancel culture, man, it's dangerous.
It is.
That's Chappelle. Chappelle talked about that.
Mm-hmm. I didn't see that show, but I've heard about it.
Talk about it last show?
Yeah.
You need to.
About it last night.
Come on.
I don't have Netflix right now.
We talked about it last night, too.
Maybe I'll get it next month and binge watch some stuff.
Our pseudo podcast was in a local bar.
Yeah. C'est si bon.
I am becoming a fan of local bars.
Yeah.
Like that one we went to in Garden Grove.
Should I back up and say that I don't advocate adult men having sex with girls who are just past puberty because it's against the law, but. You're not. I do think you're not a child molester because they're not technically children if they're past puberty. But yes, we have decided in this in our society that we do delineate that statutory rape there, which is seems fine to me. I have two daughters. 40-year-old guy has sex with my 13-year-old daughter. I will break his fucking eye socket.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, if she's 13 and has sex with a 13-year-old, I'm gonna be pissed. But it's way more normal, and they're both doing the same thing. Whatever.
Right.
So, but. Yeah, if you're past puberty, if you can have babies, obviously your body is ready for sexual contact. Well, slap my ass. We just had a little scare with the recording there. Something crashed, but it is saved, so we don't have to redo that. So,
I have no idea. Apparently, the USB bus crashed and all the USB drives disconnected randomly.
I was talking about hot sex with 12-year-olds, wasn't I?
I think that's what it was.
But only between 12-year-olds, not me and a 12-year-old.
I was about to argue that the age of consent is cultural. That's why it's 16 in Arizona and 18 here in California. And there is no age of consent in some countries around the world. You can marry off your child as long as they've had their menstruation. They can start making babies.
Wow. All right. Well, that's probably how it was historically. And then some other places decided maybe that's not so good of an idea. And that's fine.
Aren't you glad we're past that?
I think it's probably a good idea in this society for sure that make sure we wait a little bit on that.
So I came across something interesting. Speaking of children.
Oh.
Do you remember the story about Pinocchio?
I don't know it that well, but yeah.
What, do you watch Pinocchio when you were a kid?
I seem to remember seeing Pinocchio, yes.
Okay, so in Pinocchio, there's a little cricket there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the cricket became very famous in Disney. You remember his name?
Jiminy.
So I was a kid and I watched Snow White and the Seven Dwarves and I watched Pinocchio. And I mean, not when they came out, but I watched all of those shows. I sort of grew up with the brand of Disney, When You Wish Upon a Star, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I just found out that Jiminy Cricket was slang. before it was a little cricket in Pinocchio, this one of the seven dwarves was yelling out what was then commonly referred to as slang for yelling out Jesus Christ.
Jiminy crickets. Like I say, cheese and rice.
Cheese and rice. Huh, yeah.
Okay. Interesting. I didn't know that.
So Jiminy Cricket.
I assumed you were going to say it was somehow racist, and I was waiting to pounce where it's probably racist. That's racist. We got to play that later, maybe if we have time.
If we can. So Jiminy Cricket, who becomes the consciousness of the little boy and is guiding him on his story of morality, he's actually his name is Jesus Christ.
Interesting.
And it's sort of blowing my mind.
Now I'll have to watch it again.
I'm not a big Disney fan now, but I certainly was for most of my life, watching Disney shows, going to Disneyland, you know, watching all the Lion King and The Little Mermaid were pretty seminal to me in my teenage years, I'd say.
I was already a little old for those, since I'm older than you. But
you were already a pervert when you were watching those in the theater alone at night.
Yeah. With my jeans that had the pockets cut out so I could have my hands over my... never mind.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
We should market that. I'm going to write that down. Jeans.
That should be a fake sponsor of ours. The no pocket... What would we call it?
No pocket pants.
Don't worry. I'm going to come up with a bunch of... I'm going to come up with a whole list of them, you know. Like tough foreskins or something like that. I don't know.
Ooh, no pocket pants. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, write that down. They're gonna sponsor us on that.
I'm gonna write that right down right now. So it just sort of it's been messing me up this week. So I went to go look up the history, and of course, there's nothing on there's a huge fandom for Disney. There's tons of information about Disney. Every actor that ever played Jiminy Cricket, every movie he was ever in. But in the 30s, apparently you would hear people say Jiminy Cricket when they were gonna say Jesus Christ. Because they didn't want to blaspheme the name of God.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that's messing me up.
It's messing you up.
It's messing me up. And then I read a book recently. You know, I'm always reading books.
Yeah.
My kid got into the series. It's the Divergent series. I think her name is Veronica Roth, I think, is the author.
Yeah.
There's some movies made of it. Divergent and Insurgent are the first two books. Then there's four books. I bought him one of them.
Detergent is my favorite.
Probably Detergent, yeah. I bought him one. We were at the library. They had a 25-cent book. So I said, I think you might like this. I bought it for him for a quarter. He loved it. We had to buy the whole series. He's read the whole series a couple times now.
This is your oldest fella?
Yeah.
So he reads quite literally like one of those books in an afternoon. He can read the entire book.
He would read...
He's a scary fast reader.
500 pages he'll read in 4 to 5 hours.
That's amazing to me. And
He remembers it. Yeah.
It's amazing.
He's retaining it.
The guy's a fucking freak of nature.
He's also reading it multiple times. So he says to me...
And he's not like a crazy Rain Man kid. You know, he's just a smart dude.
He says, you should read this, Dad. You're going to like it. So I go to read it, and I'm having a hard time reading it. The plot... So I'm not recommending this for grown men, okay? You spend the whole book inside the head of a teenage girl who falls in love for the first time.
Wow.
And
that sounds horrifying for me to read. I don't know.
It was hard, I get points, but it's also written for teenagers. Yeah. So they're not really hiding some of the secrets of the book.
How many times does the word like appear in it, I wonder? It's written for teenagers.
Oh, I don't know. The dialogue, maybe not.
I was trying to buy my daughter a book, real quick, get back to that. I was trying to buy her a book and online, my older daughter, and she was looking, the used ones, and it said like new, and she's like, did a teenager put this together? Like new. I was like, that was kind of funny.
That's funny. That's funny. Like new.
Like new. All right. Anyway.
Ooh, that's a chalk one up for the daughter. So as I'm reading, he's checking in on me. Like, where are you at in the story? Where is that? And, there's some foreshadowing. It's not real subtle. So at one point I said, I think it's this and this. And he went, how did you know that? And we got a little further, and he said, so what do you think about this guy? And I said, I think this guy is the son of this other guy who they're attacking politically, and he must be like this other girl, because it wouldn't make sense unless, why they have so much affinity for each other, why she's falling in love with him. And he must have come from this other house. And he went, How did you know that? How did you know that?
Because you've read the same stories for decades, and we all like to see the same story over and over. We just like to see it a slightly different way, and that's the hardest thing about it.
Well, if you consider a cross between Harry Potter with the houses, but this is a dystopian future, mm-hmm. and I had it nailed between Harry Potter and something else, but if I think about it,
the one with the arrow chick, what's her name? Is it Hunger Games? Is it anything like that or no?
I never read any of that stuff.
Okay. Me neither.
I couldn't watch the movie. I figured I shouldn't read the book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I couldn't watch it either, except for Jennifer Lawrence. I like looking at her, but I know she wasn't gonna. You know, there wasn't a scene where she was gonna get all dirty and have to take a bath in the creek. So I knew I wasn't gonna really have anything to look forward to.
Well, it was an interesting book in that I've never read a book from the perspective of a teenage girl before.
Yeah, Hunger Games is like that, apparently. So,
okay. I'm not looking for more.
No.
But just to balance that out, over several months, I was reading a very deep book called Sapiens.
Yeah, by nonfiction.
Harari, Yuval Harari. He talks about the history of humankind, how we've traveled throughout, like from Africa, throughout the world, how we subsumed all other human races. You know, there's some DNA of all the other races that we killed inside of us. You can trace the different human races.
Can you imagine if there was a Neanderthal person now, the reparations payments we can get going back for so many thousands of years? Like, that's like a lot of...
Right? Do they 30,000 years of reparations?
Is there like a compound interest on that, I wonder?
Is there a percentage you can get of 23andMe that says if you're 2.5% Neanderthal, you're going to be due these reparations?
One of the hosts on Armstrong and Getty, who I listen to each morning, mm-hmm. very funny guys, I think Armstrong, Jack Armstrong, he has an extremely high DNA of Neanderthal in him. Like, he's in the highest percentage of humans that still have Neanderthal DNA.
Wow.
So he was very proud of that. He was touting it. So I wonder if he could qualify for reparations.
That's why he plays the dummy card all the time, right?
Probably.
Isn't he the one that always says he's the dummy?
No. I don't know. Have you listened to them? Yeah. Well, you heard him on that book review that they did. But
can you explain that to a regular dumb guy like me?
Yeah, he'll do that. Yes, exactly.
That's what I meant.
Yeah,
they're
great.
I haven't been able to get through all of his stuff recently, but I did check out another book, and this is a book that I read years and years ago called Born to Run. I was like, I wanted to write it down and not forget it. I read Born to Run when it came out because I was doing marathon running at the time, and it's such a good book, I loaned it out to somebody and never got it back. So I went to the library and I checked out a copy, and I just got my Kindle version yesterday. So I'll be rereading
that. I don't remember
that.
If this is fiction, nonfiction.
It's nonfiction. It's sort of about people and running and some of the different tribes around the world of runners.
Oh, okay. Well, that sounds kind of cool.
Like, there's a group in Mexico sort of known for their... Yeah. running,
mm-hmm.
and they wear sandals, and this girl just won a massive 50-mile race wearing a little skirt and some sandals.
Oh, that's cute. I want to see a picture of that.
She's not cute.
If she's
over
16.
But she beat all
in Arizona.
I think she's 16, actually.
Oh, okay.
In Mexico, it's totally fine.
I'm sure she's cute. I'd still like to see a picture of her.
No, I'll bet it's 18 in Mexico to catch tourists.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Oh, that's bad. Yeah. So I wanted to go back to local bars for a minute. So I really discovered that I like those small bars. You know, in Hollywood, there were those three bars. The small one, the one that we had to get out of because the super drunk guy was there. What was that one called?
Where was this?
He was hugging on our buddy.
I don't remember what this...
It was a...
Was that Musso and Frank or no?
No, Musso and Frank was the big.
Was at the Frolic Room,
yeah,
which also appears in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. That's where they crashed the car or something. There's a car crash into it or something.
Yeah, at the Frolic Room, it was a small bar, and you know, it's not like a big restaurant with waiters and waitresses. There's just some tables, a couple places to stand, and a bar. This place we went to last night was like that. It wasn't quite dark enough, I think. It was a little too quiet. But it was getting closer to along the lines of what I think is a good bar.
Yeah, it was cool. And the drinks were
reasonably
priced.
Yeah.
as well. What else do you got on your list there to talk about? Anything? I have a few things too, but what do you got else? What else you got? What else you got?
Let's hear some more of your stuff.
Real quick thing. There was Gavin Newsom, our beautiful mayor here, our beautiful empty-headed mayor of L.A.
He has a beautiful family, though.
I'm sure he does. He's a beautiful man. Very good looking. There's some vaccine bill that he voted on. I'm sure it's stupid just because he's voting on it. I don't like him. But there's a weird quote in here in the article. Some woman was screaming at the inside. She was in the chamber there, and she doused senators with red liquid. A voice in the crowd said it was for the dead babies as she threw a menstrual cup filled with the liquid, which apparently that was blood. But I thought that was a weird phrase. They said menstrual cup.
What's a menstrual cup?
I don't know. It sounds like the world's worst boating contest, though. Like, you know, but I was like, menstrual cup. I want to get one of those and I'll drink like Bloody Marys out of it or something. That'd be awesome. But what the fuck is a menstrual cup?
Never heard of that.
Yeah, that was weird. I don't know. Now, menstrual cup.
That ruling actually is causing a big problem because...
Maybe it's the female hockey team championship.
Oh, the menstrual cup.
Yeah.
It could be female basketball players.
Or that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna start a new contest.
A new organization.
Let's go to GoFundMe and get something going here. The menstrual cup.
These are sports organizations for women. We could start with like weightlifting competition.
Uh-huh. Wow.
Could give out prizes.
You're really good with the extra revenue streams, man. I love this.
Man, you opened up a whole world here with that.
Yep.
But this vaccine thing is kind of tricky in California because you used to be able to go to a private school and say, my religion does not allow me to have my kids vaccinated. Mm-hmm. And they'd give you a religious exemption, and then people would know not everybody here is vaccinated.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, I personally think you should get most of the vaccines for your kids.
Probably a good idea.
Vaccines are one of the miracles of the 21st century.
I used to be way in agreement with you this, but now after the last couple years of noting how, boy, the government really... doesn't know what the fuck they're doing as far as making decisions on these things. And like the FDA, they fucking lie a lot and they let companies influence the results of mm-hmm. studies. And it's like, well, shit, now I'm not exactly so sure. Plus there's other, I was listening, I got like one toe in the beef bunker here because someone was talking about, I think it was Malcolm Gladwell, he's been talking about how cholesterol does not cause heart attacks for like 20 years. His name is Malcolm, Dr. Malcolm, whatever. I've got to look him up. I didn't plan on talking about him, but he's just saying about actually how kids who actually get rubella and chickenpox actually have a lower, they actually live longer in the end because their bodies are actually getting stronger. So we actually could be harming people by not letting them get these.
Mm-hmm.
So he had a good point there. It's like, we don't know. Obviously it's probably a good idea to not have massive rubella going through the schools here because we're gathering them all together. You know,
measles, mumps, and rubella, not necessarily the worst things. But other diseases that we have eliminated from our world, like other things, your children don't die of polio. They don't become paralyzed.
Polio for sure.
Like their vaccines overall have been like the miracle of the modern age. That's if we're going to go back and look at all the great accomplishments, vaccines are probably number one.
Malcolm Kendrick, by the way, was the doctor.
Dr. Malcolm Kendrick.
Yeah.
But I kind of wouldn't want to give my child 37 random vaccines that aren't necessarily for...
It's only not at one time.
Right?
And then the most important ones.
And then because of what you said, because of the change in FDA, I don't think we'd get the HPV vaccinate. We're not going to do that. I'm not going to go get that. Mm-mm. I'm not going to have my kids get that.
You mean parvovirus? Is that what that one is?
No, parvo is what kills dogs.
Parvo.
HPV is the
papilloma. Papilloma. Yeah, that's a parvo.
And there's a couple brands of it, but we don't know what
kind of sex I'm into, but...
We don't know what's going on with that. So the flip side of this is that in California, people in droves, right now today in droves, are dropping out of the public school system.
Good, good. But why?
Because they don't want to vaccinate their children.
That's the only reason?
Newsom is saying you must.
You must go to public school and you must get vaccinated?
No, you must get vaccinated to attend any public school.
Okay, so they're out. So that's why they're dropping out.
They're out. They're like, listen, my child, I'm not willing to risk my child's life to go to your school. So F you. I'm a homeschooler now.
I used to think they were crazy, but now, judging from all the, no, you must eat heart-healthy grains and don't eat beef. I'm like, you guys don't know what the fuck you're talking about. And the study that you're citing proves nothing. And you know, it's like, and the study that you're citing is funded by the people who are promoting this drug that they said worked well that actually didn't. So a lot of bullshit going on in that area, the trials and their even So
I want those parents to get most of the vaccines for their kids, but not necessarily all of them, and maybe not all of them at one time.
I think I'm gonna agree with that. So my instinct on thinking Gavin Newsom is a fucktard was correct, right?
Yeah,
good.
Totally.
Good, good, good.
Total douchebag politician.
He's an idiot. Venezuela.
Ooh, Venezuela. That is a great place to listen to. That's a great place to eat seafood at a tourist restaurant on a port by the ocean.
Yeah, that sounds pretty fantastic. And yet, they have managed to completely fuck themselves nine ways to Sunday with their economy by having very tightly controlled, communistic sort of tight government control of all their markets and their money and everything. And they've completely shit the bed over there.
So they are failing where Russia succeeded.
Miserably.
So Russia... You know, I was actually reading...
Russia didn't last long enough to get to this point.
I was reading about this recently. When the wall came down, it was kind of a surprise to everyone because the Russian Federation essentially went bankrupt. Communism wasn't working. And the leadership, they realized this is not going to work.
And when you say doesn't work, you mean like
it doesn't work
spectacularly not working, because democracy doesn't work either, quote, quote, you know, wink, wink. Nothing's perfect. Of course, everything's broken a little bit, but this is spectacularly not working.
It was failing spectacularly.
Yeah.
And it might be Chernobyl might have been part of that. I think I was reading this after the Chernobyl series, which is total horseshit the way that they did that series, although it was really well done.
I don't know it.
It's historically inaccurate, but it was an HBO series. Really well done about the Chernobyl, the Chernobyl incident. But when communism was failing terribly, they said, you know, it's not going to work. We got to do something different, and they just stopped.
Good.
The wall came down.
So they finally made a good decision.
Now Venezuela is just ruining the whole country. They're going to ruin the whole region.
Well, maybe not so fast. Listen to this. So, yeah, they've been doing very, very, very badly. They're having people are starving. People are leaving. It's like Weimar Republic. They're having to, you know, wheelbarrows full of cash to go down to buy like some gum. Or actually, they mentioned some of their staples in the store, which is sugar, flour, and pasta. I'm like, ah, good. Great pasta. Great staples. But anyway, I'm going to read a little bit of this because full disclosure, this is from the Wall Street Journal, which I paid for a month just to try it out, but it's only a buck. They're having a special. I think it's actually 3 months. So, Caracas, Venezuela. President Nicolas Maduro's authoritarian government, long a practitioner of tight state control of the economy, has quietly and cautiously begun implementing free market policies to tame hyperinflation and correct an economic contraction worse than America's Great Depression. So far, the approach is providing a sliver of light to the moribund economy. Moribund meaning, you know, about to die. I know there's some people who don't know what moribund means.
They can always pause and go to Google. Yes.
In recent
Thank
months,
you, Dave. Thank you.
But most of our listeners would know what it was. But I know there's a couple. They're like, moribund.
Dave did like go to college, people.
Sounds like a, huh?
Dave did go to college.
I didn't graduate, though. The easing of controls is a risky move for a government that has publicly championed its state-led socialist economic model as the country's only salvation from greedy capitalists. But the measures are giving some life, even if limited, to the economy Mr. Maduro controls. The economy is also getting a boost from a key consequence of its miserable state, the massive migration of desperate Venezuelans. So a lot of people are leaving. 4 million have fled. But they were doing some things like, let's see. That's like the whole article I pasted in here. Shit, I should have made a note here, but you know, they were
you're gonna highlight some parts next time.
Yeah, I should highlight some parts. But it's interesting that they had to start going a little free market. So we had to loosen controls and like get rid of this minimum wage shit that they had put in there because it was fucking everybody up so bad. Easing of state controls is basically what they're doing. You don't need to know actually a lot of it. It's like all I was bringing this up is super super tight state control, shitstorm. No state control, also maybe shitstorm, but probably not as bad of a shitstorm.
Right,
as long as you got police protecting property rights and stuff.
That's why we have a balance of capitalism with some social programs.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the West were the most successful culture in the history of the world so far.
Yep.
Now, in
who drove a car on the moon? America, not the Greeks, not the Chinese. The youngest country drove a car on the moon. Thank you very much.
So China, 50 years ago, terrible shape.
Yeah.
Communism was not working for them. But China... do not underestimate the Chinese. They started to allow a little bit of capitalism in small controlled areas, and they've over these 40 years, last 40 years, grown a middle class, grown their economy, and they're a freaking world power now that you hear in the news all the time because they very carefully allowed capitalism in to make their people's lives better.
Yeah, well, the thing that you brought up the Russians earlier, you cannot, especially with China, how many billion people? About a billion more probably now. They have
1.4 billion.
Four or five times our population. You cannot have a centrally planned government who decides where they're going to send goods and services, try to figure out what a billion people need, like what these 800,000 over here need more of and what these over here need more of. Russia found that out. They were completely, well, they're gone because they tried to do that. You can't centrally plan. You have to let every single person make, do I want to buy eggs today? No, I don't want to buy eggs today. I'm going to buy more kale today. God forbid.
Kale.
they were trying to determine sovereignty for everybody.
No, there's no sovereignty in China. There's no individual sovereignty. Don't mistake that.
But
they are still communist dictators.
Yeah, but they've had to allow a little bit into their markets to get some sort of a cash flow.
There's a very small controlled amount, but they're still not sovereign.
But they don't have to ship food everywhere, do they?
I think they do.
So they probably don't centrally plan it because they would all be dead. So they have some way of people there probably go
regional control.
Yeah. If it's probably localized and they're not, it cannot be centrally planned. I will shit my pants right here on your carpet if this is all centrally planned. Even though, yes, Asians are smart. They're not that smart.
I'd rather you no didn't human do is. That on my carpet.
I'm sorry.
I'm going to go back to talking about alcohol now.
Too late. Sorry about that.
Ooh, speaking of Russians. So I shared, did I share the Crystal Skullhead vodka with you?
No.
I sent you that link though, right?
Yes. And I heard that podcast with the maker of Crystal Skull.
Right. So I listened to Dan Aykroyd and I thought, okay, that's a sales pitch, man. I'm going to try this stuff.
What did my text say to you that I sent? You like that? I said, because I was listening to Dan Aykroyd talk about all of his, he loves every single UFO story. He believes all of them.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, he's a comedic genius and lovable, gullible moron.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Lovable, gullible moron.
Yeah.
No, sounds like true. A great guy. And he gave a great pitch. And I thought, wow, you know, I love to hear a story about, like, what is this thing and why is it important? So I ran over to the BevMo after listening to Aykroyd talk about it. I bought the Canadian Glacier vodka, the purest vodka. I texted some of my other buddies about it. I texted you know, let a couple people know. And I tried it. It's like, I'm not a vodka drinker. It tasted good to me. And then I put a little bit of pomegranate juice. We grabbed a pomegranate from the tree back there, squeezed some juice in there.
Off your tree.
Yeah. Oh, and they weren't even ripe yet. And it was definitely the best little pomegranate martini I ever had.
There's a good hack on video on YouTube where a guy shows you like how to really get the seeds out of a pomegranate really well.
Mm-hmm.
It's called, you know, I think it's this Russian guy. He does all these hilarious videos. You know, it's you know, de-seeding a pomegranate. You've been doing it wrong. They're all, it's all that. So
oh,
he shows
right.
you how he does it. It worked quite well. I was like, oh, I never thought of that.
Well, we have this,
so watch that.
We have this giant metal contraption from the 50s. You cut it in half, you put it on there, you pull the lever, and you just have juice.
Oh, juice, yeah. But I like the seeds, though.
Oh, okay.
But he just cut it in half, and he turned it over, like flat side pointed down into a bowl. He
and
picked
then
up a
squeezed
knife. Well, he picked up a knife, like a big knife, held it by the blade, hammered it, boom, boom. They all just fell right into the bowl.
Ah,
like, oh, that's
nice.
Great.
Nice.
Because you get that slapping motion with the knife because of the mm-hmm. blades. You get a really good smack.
So yeah, the vodka, bringing up the vodka and texting some people about vodka brought up a conversation that Russia doesn't allow their vodka to be exported. So apparently the worst vodka you can get in Russia is better than anything you can get here in the States. And that's what I brought up to the lady at that bar last night.
Melissa.
Who said we could get a potato vodka mm-hmm. from Poland where they invented it in the first place.
Yeah.
So got some research to do and another okay. trip to BevMo to make.
Yeah, good. Good to know. Very good. Should we go into the beef bunker? We should talk about Trump with the homeless real quick.
Let's skip the homeless. We talked about homeless last time.
We'll lead
let's
off
go
with
to the
that.
Beef bunker.
All right, let's go to the beef bunker. Hey, we're in the beef bunker.
You know,
we're impervious to any dietary bullshit inside the beef bunker.
The beef bunker is one of those interesting places that everyone's going to be in about 40 years.
By the way, are those your socks over there in the corner of the beef bunker? You're supposed to pick those up before.
Oh,
you,
man. No, those are my kids. They leave them everywhere.
All right. Yeah, beef bunker is fun. I love the theme song, the beef bunker, too. I was watching a video before I came over today. I got this weird email. I'm on someone's list, but something called the keto something or other. But I can look at my email here. Keto Revolution. They made a documentary. It's called The Real Skinny on Fat, and
okay.
apparently is like really long. It's like a series. The first one's called The Big Fat Lie, and I think it's like
that's the name of the Nina Teichl's book.
That's the Big Fat Surprise.
Oh, the Big Fat Surprise.
Yeah.
You're right.
But Nina Teichl is in it, and there's a doctor in there. He's like the brain specialist guy, neurologist for the Pittsburgh Steelers for like the last 20 years. He's in there. Nina Teichl is in there. But there's really good stuff in there already. And Montel Williams like hosts. He's like hosting. It's kind of weird. That seems kind of
wasn't he
weird.
Like the throw the chairs at the audience?
No,
guy?
That's Gary. That's Jerry Springer.
Okay.
Montel is the black dude with the bald head. He's a pretty good interviewer.
I thought that guy had a comedy show at night, like on Channel 11 at 10 o'clock at night.
Nope. Arsenio Hall, you talking
like
about?
Like a comedian guy?
Nope.
Wasn't he bald? Or he had a little bit of hair on top of
his
head?
A little bit of hair, yeah. No, Montel.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Montel Williams. He had a daytime show for a while. He was like the dude, the bald kind of buff dude version of Oprah. He did a pretty good job. But anyway, the person who did this film and interviewed people is being interviewed by him. It's a little weird, but the information is great.
Okay.
Good stuff. I recommend it. It's called Keto Revolution. You have to actually go to sign up, but you can watch it for free. They'll just send you a link and say, oh, good, you're on our list. Here's the link. And it's really well done. And
send
really
me
well
the
made.
Link.
I will. Yeah, Keto Revolution. I will send you the link.
Just send it to me right now. You got your Chromebook
I'm gonna,
open in front of you.
I'm going to forward... Yeah, I like this Chromebook a lot, actually. I'm forwarding it to you now, Sable. I should forward it to everybody who's listening. I'm not going to make a joke.
No,
but that's
you
only
should,
three people. Ha ha.
You should.
I just forwarded it to you.
Put the link on the Twitter for people to sign up.
Okay. That's a good idea.
Because we want their email list to build up.
Yeah, so they've been talking about the standard stuff. They actually went into a lot more detail about this Ansel Keys stuff that I didn't know. And I've been up the ass of Ansel Keys for the last couple of years. Ansel mm-hmm. Keys was the guy who basically he's sort of like Mao and Hitler combined as far as like food Holocaust. Like he fucked everybody so badly with his ego and the fact that he thought right. that saturated fat was the demon and cholesterol, and you shouldn't be eating animal products.
Heart hypothesis.
Yes.
He's the big personality that decided it must be dietary fat that's causing this all of a sudden –
heart disease.
Middle-aged white men started to die, and the world lost their shit.
Yeah, there's a doctor on there, really interesting. She kind of dropped. I haven't heard this before, but all the seven country studies, you know, where he would ignore. He basically chose places where, like, he would go to Italy, but he'd go to southern Italy where he knew that they didn't eat a lot of saturated fat there, and they had low heart disease.
And he would go during a holiday when they weren't eating meat for 40 days.
He would do that, and then he just left out lots of countries where they eat way more saturated fat but don't die of heart disease. He just left those out. But also, those seven countries actually, very high smoking rate, which was probably did you know Eisenhower had a heart attack in office, but he smoked 4 packs of fucking cigarettes a day?
Yep.
Major factor in the heart disease. You should not smoke that much.
Well, that was sorry. That was the moment that brought it to the public's attention.
Yeah. Yeah, and he rode that wave. It hit a huge ego. He invented K rations for the war. So this woman was great. He invented processed food. Ansel Keys. He was completely wrong about the heart hypothesis, but the government ran with his ball, and they're still running with it. Okay, so
although it's getting better since 2015,
it is
getting better.
The tide is turning. I just saw another viral article. I think it was in USA Today. It was like, what should you... Like, they're cutting through the bullshit finally. We're finally getting down. What should you really be eating to lose weight, Sable?
If you want to think finally, there was evidence that smoking cigarettes caused cancer.
Yeah.
It took 45 years from the time we had clear scientific evidence to the time that most people didn't smoke.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you go with that timeline, we have clear scientific evidence. Let's be generous and say from 2010, there was a large majority, a consensus that processed foods are killing people.
Yeah. We have the nice added benefit now of the internet.
So let's cut that back 10 years.
Yeah.
We'll say it's going to be 2040 or 2045.
I think it'll be a lot quicker. I think it'll
before
be a lot
you have
quicker.
To show your ID to get a Coke.
Good.
There should be no Snickers bars in where children are.
If you don't have cigarettes at my daughter's school, you should not have fucking Twinkies there.
Yep.
It's the same shit.
Twinkies. It really is. Coca-Cola. Oreo. Oh, I had
it
a
really
bad.
Is as bad.
I had a bad Oreo moment. I think the Beef Bunker is a time I have to confess. So last Friday night there was a full moon. It was a harvest moon here in Southern California. And we went to the park with some family friends to do little moon activities. and of course, the Oreos were the preferred treat for the moon activities. So you open the Oreos.
As historically,
it's a full moon. You know, you eat some of the, you can make the waxing and waning. You can go through the phases of the moon with the Oreo.
Oh, yeah, you can mimic it with the cream part on
yes.
the thing. Oh,
and
you can
slide
make
it over.
You can make like a waxing gibbous.
But I ate 5 or 6 Oreo cookies. And they were delicious, and I enjoyed them.
Yeah, yeah.
And I came back to the house, and my kids wanted to snuggle with me, and the dark grip of sugar just dragged me into the couch, and I passed out.
Count Carbula came and like just bit you in the neck.
It
and
was
made you
10 o'clock at night.
So you fell asleep,
and I literally couldn't move. I didn't want to be asleep. I couldn't get up.
And this is because you and I generally don't eat a lot of carbs anymore. So when this happens, it's kind of bad. You don't want to see what happened in the bathroom after I got back from the Mandarin house Sunday night because we went to Chinese food. Oh, buddy.
I don't even want to be in the building with you when that happens.
No, it was not good. Not good.
If you go heavy on the carbs, you get this weird thing. You get gas.
Yeah.
You start
I do not get gas ever unless I eat that shit. It's great. I love the way because we eat fairly ketogenically, no sugar, no grainsy, and do you find yourself farting a lot? I don't fart hardly ever. And the pooping, very easily, man. I don't even poop every day. It's just like once in a while, it's like, oh, I think I have to poop. Oh, boop, all done. No paperwork. This is how it's supposed to be.
Did you ever have a habit of like waking up and going to the bathroom? Because I had that habit for years. And I will still,
I don't remember.
Wake up and
pooper.
Sit down, and I'm like, oh yeah, I don't poop in the morning.
Yeah, no, yeah. You're starting to go in there still. And
no,
thinking,
it's been months.
Right. But you were still going in there thinking you had to poop,
and
then there's nothing there.
I will wake up tomorrow and get up and go in the bathroom and sit down, and I'll be like, oh yeah, I don't.
Oh
poop.
Yeah, I don't poop. Yeah,
not in the morning.
It's so fantastic. And then I hate it when I have a like because the the BM situation after a Chinese food meal, which is basically candy. Everything on the table was candy.
Yeah.
I had steak, but it was marinated in all kinds of horrible shit and with candy. It was
sugar
fantastic.
Sauce, yeah.
But that shit wants to stay in your body. It doesn't want to come out. So it clings to the walls of your anus as it's like, don't let me out. And you have to wipe your ass like 40 times.
Mm-hmm.
This does not happen when you eat proper human food.
Human
diet, the PhD.
See, I bought some London broil tonight, cooked it up on the Traeger, sliced it up thin.
Oh, that's good. I had some filet mignon that I fried up. I'm doing this new thing where I'll cut it into small sections, kind of put a lot of seasonings on it, throw it in the frying pan just for toss it around just to get
cast
it a little
iron
bit.
Or a regular frying pan?
Yeah, regular one. Copper one.
Try cast iron.
Try cast iron. Okay. All right. I have one.
No good reason, it makes it taste better.
Okay.
I'm sure there's a scientific reason. It literally tastes better in the cast iron.
Yeah. And one other thing about this. That article I was just about to say, because they had, we've asked so many dietitians. This is the definitive thing. And guess what they said, Sable?
What's that?
Same old shit. Just do the same thing that we've been telling you to do for the last 50 years that got everybody 700% increase in obesity. It's like, don't cut out any food groups. That's weird. Don't. And guess what? A big, long article talking about nutrient density. Guess I was reading through. I did a word search. Guess what word was not mentioned the entire fucking article?
Meat.
Beef.
Oh, beef.
Yeah, they mentioned chicken at one point. Beef not mentioned in the entire fucking article. The most nutrient dense food humans can eat and is not in fact harmful for you, is really good for you. Not mentioned. Not fucking mentioned.
But you don't have to eat beef. You could eat chicken and fish.
Yeah, you could
eat bison.
You could, sure.
You could have venison.
All of those wild game you could eat. Yeah. Ostrich, go ahead. All of it.
I think
all
you
of it.
Could and probably live on
beef.
Pork too, right? You eat pork.
Yes. The Okinawans before World War II were among the longest lived humans on the planet. And when I think Ansel Keys had something to do. It was after World War II, when they went to see, they eat mostly vegetables and rice. Oh, yeah.
Because there were no more pigs.
It's because the Americans took all their pigs when we were over there, harvested all of them. They had no pigs to eat, but they used to eat, they had the highest per capita consumption of pork. And that's why they were the longest lived. Frankly, well, it must have been because that's what they were fucking eating for thousands of years.
Well,
it just happened that little window where they weren't eating pork is when these assholes went over there to do their polling on what they ate.
That's the bulk of Nina's book.
Yeah, that's a great book.
The bulk of it is
surprise.
Here was a study, and here's where it went wrong. Here was a study, and here's what they left out.
Mm-hmm,
I have one more thing for the beef bunker I wanted to bring up. We talked about Jordan Peterson on this podcast in the past, and his daughter, Michaela Peterson, is all in on fasting, intermittent fasting.
And carnivore.
Meat, salt, and water. Like, those are her things.
Yeah.
And she's right now, she's pushing her lion diet.
Oh,
and I'm in, man. I'm in. She's like, are you a lion or a sheep? Are you going to be an apex predator?
She's awesome. She had to go full carnivore, just people listening, because she had horrifyingly bad arthritis and depression and all kinds of autoimmune order. But she slowly over a long time, she was on all kinds of medication, had a hip replaced by 17 and an ankle replaced at 17, 18. Miserable. She was a miserable person.
Check out her story. And depressed.
Yes.
Clinically
Michaela
depressed.
Michaela Peterson basically cured herself by cutting out plant foods.
But it took her 5 or 6 years to figure it out.
Yeah.
And now she's doing these long fasts, like multi-day fasts.
I bet she's looking good too. She's kind of a cutie.
It's kind of inspiring. I mean, she's got kids now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She has
high
a great
energy.
Story.
So I did send her a message on Twitter. Said lion. I just tweeted her.
Lion, you're going lion.
I'm subscribed, yeah. She has a YouTube channel. She wanted us to subscribe to.
Take a look. I haven't checked back with her in a while.
Hey, so I think we need to get on to our final segment here so we can go contact the No Pocket Pants guys and see if we can get a distribution deal with them for the next episode.
Yeah, and I'm going to talk to the Hockey Association about the menstrual cup.
Nice.
And
I like the menstrual cup.
We can go now to Ask a Black Guy. We're just going to leave you with Ask a Black Guy. This was recorded.
Do you want to do any setup at all? Do you want to explain anything?
Go ahead. Tell them a little about what's going on.
That's what I was asking you.
Do you want me to do it?
Or do you want to just go right in?
Does it really need a setup? We just asked a black guy some questions. So let's just leave it at that.
Should we mention who the random black guy on the street was or no?
No, let's not. Just because he's, we'll have to ask him if it's probably not because, you know, he is a,
okay.
I'm gonna give a teacher.
I'm going to give a spoiler.
Okay.
I actually know the guy.
Yeah.
And we asked him if we could do the bit before we did it.
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't actually on the street. We were in a safe space drinking alcohol, and he knew we were going to record this for the show.
You'll hear an incredibly realistic thing where we run up to a guy in the street and ask him, but it's really not. It's all in studio.
All right. Well, Dave, I'm gonna end the show here with our pre-recorded bit of Ask a Black Guy, and then I'll see you next week.
All right. See you next time.
All right. See ya.
See you, everybody. Thanks.
Hey, Dave, there's a black guy over here walking. Come here. Come here. Come with me. Excuse me, Mr. Black Guy.
What's up?
Hey, he didn't hit me. I didn't know. Can you tell me, what is it about dating in 2019 that's so hard?
Look here, partner. There are so many different types of hoes out there. You know, you don't know what you're going to run into. Let me give you an example, young buck. I was dating this hoe, right? And, you know, I went to her house and the shit was like sleepwalkers. You know, there's cats everywhere. Rooftops and the porch and shit like that.
You already lost me. I don't know what you're talking about.
Cats everywhere. And
you know sleepwalkers? Stephen King sleepwalkers? You never saw that shit?
I'm proud to say I have not seen sleepwalkers.
We're talking about the cat lady. All right, wait.
Cat lady. I don't know what sleepwalker is.
You know the lady.
She's a cat lady.
You know the lady I have cats instead of kids.
Okay, yeah. I know the cat lady, but I don't know sleepwalkers.
She has a bunch of kids, you know, cats, and she don't want to have babies. Right, you know. Mm-hmm. Wait, let me start.
Like Ocasio-Cortez.
right.
She's not going to have kids.
Does she have cats?
She's not going to have kids, though. It's bad for the environment.
But she's going to have a lot of cats.
It's good. I'm a heavy proponent of mandatory abortions for Democrats, so yeah. I'm down with that.
But she's going to have a lot of cats.
I totally support vegans who don't want to have children.
Mm-hmm. I think stay as vegan as you want to.
I think vegans not having children should be a right and should even be mandatory.
Mm-hmm. So let's get back to the hoe. The hoe in the hoe at her house and the cats. The cat hoe house or the cat house, all right?
Yeah.
Well, I love hoes and I love cats. So
everybody
sure.
loves pussy.
I'm not sure where
everybody
where
loves pussy.
Wrong.
All right. Well, the problem was is that this particular female was into some rough shit. And if you know, black people aren't into bondage. You know, we was history shows that
they were,
you know,
forced into it. So you kind of like,
so we don't do that for, it's not sexy.
Right.
Bondage is not sexy.
I can see.
We were slaves and then we don't put chains, ain't cool. But apparently this is some Caucasian people's fantasy, is they wanna be like ravaged. I guess it's like the Tarzan fantasy, you know. You're gonna be some like nigga in the jungle.
You think about when the Wonder Woman comic was invented. People were eating that stuff up because there was a lady with a whip wearing leather.
Right, and apparently all blacks swing from trees and shit like that, like monkeys. But they talk shit about monkeys, but they won't fuck monkeys. And I don't know what's up with the fucking monkeys.
I gotta make a disclaimer for the audience who are listening in. The random black person that I stopped on the street is actually black, and he's allowed to say that.
Yeah, yes, I am. I am black. Yes, I am.
He's not being told what to say or what not to say.
So
no one's gonna believe you're black.
So this hoe gets me to her house, and she's beautiful. She looks like Christina Applegate. You know what I'm saying? She's blonde, freckles. You know, really, really super cute. Well, all of a sudden, you know, we start messing around. And she says she likes it a little rough. Well, you know,
so
I'm thinking.
You smack her in the face.
No, black people don't do that. We don't beat people up in the bedroom, you know. We try to be sensual, you know. Come on, you talking about black people. Come on.
I don't know, man.
Have you seen the R&B video? You know, we put baby oil on and wear no shirts and shit like that and do videos. But anyways.
Well, I've seen some R. Kelly videos. that, I don't know.
No, that's urinating on folks. That's.
R. Kelly was a little bit weird in his bondage.
He that's not peeing on people. Black people don't pee on people. R. Kelly pees on people. It's different.
R. Kelly suffered from being too rich.
Right, exactly. And
he's got green privilege.
Exactly, green privilege.
Yeah.
Anyways, so this hoe gets me to her house, and it turned into some Madonna shit, you know, because she's like, I like it rough. So she's like trying to put my hand over her throat to choke her and shit like that. Well, you know, I'm not, you know, this isn't like some horror movie. I'm not trying to choke a bitch or whatever. So I'm trying to explain to her how I'm not turned on by that, you know, but trying to be subtle about it. And the bitch slaps me and starts choking me. And then all of a sudden the situation flips. And then I feel like I'm a victim. Right. You know?
Yes,
you
hashtag know what I mean? Me too.
Right. This is a Me Too moment.
Uh-huh. Right. You know, I'm a victim, right?
Yeah. This is a therapy session.
Right. She didn't ask you ahead of time. No. Can I slap you? She just did it?
She slapped me and said, stop being a bitch. Stop being a bitch. And she starts choking me. Right? So... And even though she was 100 pounds, she was still strong, right? She's still pretty strong, right? She's 100 pounds, but it's 100 pounds of muscle, right? You get what I'm saying? So she's choking me and calling me a bitch. So
This is going to have to be a weekly thing, by the way. We're going to have to just have him over.
At this point, I'm trying to get away. Well, she's chasing me in the bed, and she holds me down, right? Because she's strong. She's so strong. 100 pounds of fury, dog. Thank Bruce Lee. Bruce Lee.
Be like water. Be like water.
Right. Don't concentrate on the finger. That kind of shit. So then, you know, I try to get out of it by crying. I know that's not a manly thing to do, but I start crying.
That was unexpected.
I start crying.
Spontaneously started crying. Yeah, exactly. This was a plan.
No. I thought of my dog dying, and I was crying. I started crying, like, you know.
He's a method actor.
Yeah. Right? So, at that point, it made her more turned on. So, she's then...
Well, I gotta say, yes, when I start beat up and chick and she starts to cry and run away, totally turns me on. So
it didn't stop her. It, like, made her more into it. So then she poured candle wax on me and then was burning the nigga like Spawn. I'm saying that.
Spawn?
You know, like, Al Simmons, you know what I'm saying?
I don't know if you should be burned. burning you is
the shit was hot. Hot wax is hot wax.
I know.
I don't know why white people are in a hot wax.
It's not a good idea for you.
I don't know if it's a Christian thing or what, but she put hot wax on the nigga.
It's a Christian thing.
She put hot wax on the nigga, and the nigga was covered in hot wax, and it wasn't sexy. It was not sexy.
I'm just placing this under the microphones because you keep smacking the table, and I'm thinking it's going to be like really bad. So I'm
boom kaboom.
I'm putting a shock absorber under the microphone. Maybe that'll help.
Smart.
So needless to say, we're now engaged in intercourse, and I'm crying the whole time.
Wait, you still engage in intercourse after this? Usually, if this is reversed, and I start choking her, and she's running away, and she's crying. She's gonna call the police, but no, you decided I'm gonna tough it out and fuck her. No,
I wasn't toughing it out. She was hot.
Okay,
she was hot. What I mean. Exactly. She was choking me, and my dick was hard. But I don't know why my dick was hard.
You're gonna power through.
I was being third degree burned and abused abused, and she was choking the nigga out. I shit you not. A couple times I saw darkness. I saw some of my folks on the other side. Know what I'm saying?
Were they telling you it's not your turn? Go back. Go away from the light.
Go back. Beat it up.
There was more. You get pop man up, nigga. Man up.
Pop that pussy, your great grandma.
No, they were like, man up, nigga. Man up. So they were like, you can do this. Man up. Don't go towards the light. Man up, nigga. Man up. So then I wake up and I flip the bitch over and I tear that pussy up. Right. So I started choking the bitch back.
You flipped her over? Which way was she before? So is she on her stomach? Or
she was on top of me, riding me. Okay. So I grab her by the throat, and I take her down like O.J. Simpson, and I'm pinning her down, right?
And she's on her back?
She's on her back, and I'm on top, but I'm choking her.
Don't hit the thing, because I don't know if we can use this audio.
So I'm choking her. But then in my mind, I feel like the cops are going to come kicking in the door.
Right?
Yeah. And, you know.
Black guy on top of a white girl.
Choking her, right?
Yeah.
So I'm conflicted. So then I pause for a brief moment, and the bitch pounces me and says, nigga, man up. So I think my ancestors were communicating with her. You know? I think I was having a one of them Native American... You know,
you're having a vision,
right? I think they were trying to open my mind to the universe. So long story short, you know, I think crazy hoes open your mind up to the universe. It's like black man's, you know.
So in the end, you choked her out.
No, I was choking her, and then she choked me out. Yeah. Like, she pounced back on me, and she was really strong. You know, I disclaimer, you know, white hoes, they're not victims. They're very strong. They're very, very strong.
Girl power.
Girl power is real.